from KQED.
From KQED Public Radio, this is Forum. I'm Scott Schaefer, here today for Michael Krasny. In this hour of Forum, the holiday shopping season is in full swing. If you're stumped on what to buy this year, or just looking for inspiration, you'll want to join us this hour on Forum. We'll hear about do-it-yourself gift ideas and unusual or low-tech presents, ranging from homemade liqueurs and ornaments to experiences like glass-blowing lessons or a butchery class. Our guests will have plenty of suggestions, and we want to hear your ideas, too. Outside-the-box holiday gifts. That's our topic this hour, and we'll get started with Forum right after this. And welcome to Forum. I'm Scott Schaefer, and today for Michael Krasny. Well, the pressure is on to find those perfect gifts for family members, friends, business associates, you name it. And if you want to give something, say, memorable, or at least something without busting your budget or resorting to something like a Target gift card, well, have we got an hour for you. All of our guests spend a good chunk of their time either creating, dreaming up, or blogging about crafts and all kinds of homemade stuff or unusual experiences that you can give as gifts. And let me just tell you who's here with us this hour. Kelly Wilkinson, who you may recognize from KQED's Air. She's a reporter and occasional anchor, but she's also the author of a craft blog called MakeGrowGather.com. Kelly, good to see you.
Hi, Scott. It's fun to be here.
Also with us, Gretchen Westrack. She's the founder of CuriosityAtlas.com. That's a website that recommends Bay Area experience gifts, things to do, make, and learn. Good to have you as well.
Thank you very much.
And also with us, Sean Timberlake. He's the founder of punkdomestics.com. That's a website for do-it-yourself foodies, and he also writes about food for the SF Weekly and the Cooking Channel. Good morning.
Pleased to be here.
Well, let me begin with you, Kelly. Where do you get your inspiration for these things?
And
give us a sense of the range of things that you work on as crafts.
Yeah, I tend to do a lot of gifts for all kind. I mean, anybody in my life. My sisters are often the recipients of my gifts, niece and nephew. I do a lot of things for home accessories, things around, around the home, whether that's placemats or kind of ways to lighting or different kinds of projects. And I mean, in terms of inspiration, I it's sort of hard to narrow it down. I feel like I go into stores and I'm inspired by beautiful ideas or textiles or materials, but even hardware stores. I live really close to a hardware store, and I'm always wandering the aisles and sort of picking things up, different, copper or different things, and wondering what I could make from those.
So, well, I saw on your website, for example, a wreath made of steel wool.
Steel wool, right. Yes, that was a recent project, and taking a wireframe for a wreath and then wrapping it with – I use two different grades of steel wool, a really fine one for the base and then a more coarse wool, and then added some greenery. And that's the perfect example of being inspired in the hardware store. It's a really kind of different take on wreaths and holiday decorations.
And if you had to say what your philosophy was about this, what would you say? How would you describe it?
Well, I would – I'm working on a book that's coming out next fall, a crafting book, and my publisher and I have been joking that she's calling me a crafty dabbler because I don't really have I'm so interested and inspired in all kinds of different techniques and projects, and it isn't I'm not an expert in sewer or an expert knitter or an expert in any different kind of thing, but I feel like I'm always wandering the aisles and picking up projects and paper and different things like that.
I want to open up the phone lines because I'm sure our listeners have a lot of ideas or maybe questions for you folks. So let's give out the phone number right now. It's 866-733-6786, 866-733-6786, or as always, you can email us. It's forum@kqed.org. Gretchen Westrack, CuriosityAtlas.com. You recommend experiences as gifts. Give us a sense of the kinds of experiences that you think would be cool gifts.
Wow. Well, we have an event coming tonight, and we have 25 vendors who are going to be there across a range of categories. So everything from glass blowing classes to trapeze classes to canning and other food-related classes, even winemaking. So there's just an incredible range of things to do in the Bay Area and learn, and we're trying to bring those all together for people tonight.
And we should just say it's just a block from where we're sitting
right now
on Mariposa. Yeah, Mariposa and Hampshire.
Yep, that's right.
And that's from 5 to 9.
It is, yes.
And so people can go and sort of see what's out there as options.
Yep, you can go and meet the vendors and hear about what they have to offer and even see demos of their offering. So we're setting up mini workshops for people to get engaged with these experiences and think about how they're going to give them as gifts.
What do you mean by that? How are they going to give them?
So one challenge with giving experiences is it's so intangible. What do you actually hand over to the gift receiver? So we're thinking about how to package that up. I even brought in a box today. We're encouraging all the vendors to provide little teasers of their gift so that you can start building anticipation for the gift receiver. So an example of this is a clown nose from the circus center to talk about their circus classes.
And what's the case to be made for giving an experience as opposed to a gift or a more traditional kind of gift?
Well, you know, when I've been talking to people about this idea, a lot of people have been saying the same thing, like, I'm out of ideas, or, you know, I don't need any more stuff. And the great thing about experiences is it's a chance to learn something you've been wanting to learn or spend time with a loved one. So I think that's really the benefit of this. It's a gift of time. It's a gift of learning something, a skill, and enjoying the Bay Area in a different way.
What about cost?
It ranges. So we have everything. The vendors are going to be providing things that are stocking stuffer level, you know, $10, $20, all the way up to thousands of dollars if you want to make your own wine.
Let's bring Sean Timberlake into this. Punkdomestics.com is your website, Sean. How did you get into it? And what is it that excites you about food as craft and gifts?
Well, mainly I focus on food preservation, so things like canning, pickling, jamming, and even getting into more advanced topics like cheese making and cured meats. But I think that it's a powerful thing because it's something that's very personal when you create these projects and you can give them. Canning, of course, makes them shelf stable, which is also helpful in that they can, you know, set it aside for later. But there's an opportunity for creativity, and you can take a tweak on something. It's not just, say, strawberry jam, but maybe strawberry balsamic or strawberry mint. And by virtue of doing that, I think it puts your personal stamp on, and that's what interests me, is allowing the user to express themselves through these projects.
And you tend to be seasonal?
I try to focus personally on seasonal stuff, a good example of which I made fig jam relatively recently back in around September, October, from figs that had come my way, and I harvested fennel pollen from my own neighborhood. And that's something that was very fleeting, but I managed to capture it just then, and the two paired really well together. But, you know, at any other time of year, I certainly wouldn't have been able to do that.
And again, your website is called punkdomestics.com. Where'd that name come from?
It actually came from a review of a book. My friend Karen Solomon has a book called Jam It, Pickle It, Cure It. And there was a review on a website called Eat Me Daily, which referred to this movement as a punk domesticity. And I just thought that was very apt because I feel that the people who are devotees of this movement are taking things into their own hands and kind of thumbing their nose at the establishment by virtue of doing it.
We're talking about unusual gift ideas for the holiday season. And again, we're opening up the phone lines a little early if you want to give us your own ideas or some of the gifts you've gotten over the years or what you're planning to give this year, if it's a little outside the box. 866-733-6786, 866-733-6786. Kelly Wilkinson, what does your house look like around this time of year?
I wish my husband were here to answer that one for me. It's a happy, chaotic disaster. my dining room table is absolutely covered with all kinds of half-made projects and a lot of things that I'm sort of figuring out as I go. I'm making a little bag for my nephew. He's really into baseball, but I'm not exactly sure what shape it's going to take yet. So a lot of things that I'm sort of working through as I come home at night and turn to crafting. But
what kind of raw materials are you using for that one?
I'm using a kind of heavy muslin and then rickrack, which is a a kind of trim. It's on a lot of vintage and a lot of vintage kids' clothes. It's a zigzag trim, and you can get it in different widths. And I saw it in the store, and I was thinking of what I was. I wanted to make him something relating to baseball because he's absolutely obsessed right now. And so I'm taking it and cutting a circle. The bag's going to be some kind of circle, and then the Rick Rack is. I got it in red, and it sort of looks like the stitching of a baseball. So, but felt is a great material for people to work with. It doesn't fray, so if you have a sharp pair of scissors, you can cut in really beautiful designs, and it holds a really defined edge. Leather is actually something that I've been doing a lot with lately, and one thing I think about doing all of these kinds of things is sourcing a lot of the materials is really as satisfying as the projects. And I found a leather place actually just a couple blocks from here. And I mean, it's just amazing to walk into these places and there's floor to ceiling rolls of leather. And I got probably a yard for $5, I think. And you can make,
Sort of scraps that they're not going to use.
Yeah, exactly. The offcuts of things and different colors, and you can make jewelry or leather cuffs or luggage tags or bookmarks or, I mean, materials like that that you don't have to completely finish, I think, are great this time of year when time is scarce.
What do you say, or do you hear this from people? Oh, I wish I could do that, but I'm just not creative.
I do. I hear that all the time, and I wish I had the magic phrase to sort of unlock for people or get them, push them into trying something. And I mean, I kind of think of it like cooking sometimes. I mean, I think there's a whole world of people who, you know, are not interested in cooking, will probably never, ever be interested in cooking. But then there's so many people you can see kind of when you talk to them that they're curious and they're interested and they want to learn more and try it. And so it's just really a matter of just trying it. And there's so much inspiration and information out there on websites and blogs and in stores. And
Sean Timberlake, I know that one of the things you talk about on your website is making liqueurs, which you don't have to be a cook, really. You just tell us about how easy that is if you wanted to make, I think you pointed out on your blog, I think it was, limoncello, for example.
Right, exactly. So liqueurs are relatively easy. What it comes down to basically is infusing an ingredient into some kind of an alcohol base and then blending it with syrup or sugar. So there's no cooking involved other than making a syrup, and it's just really a matter of time. So limoncello is very popular, but you can mix that up with other citrus. You can make arancello with oranges or pompelmocello with grapefruit. That's my favorite that I make every year. And you just infuse it for about 10-20 days, strain it off, and mix it with the syrup, and then it will continue to meld and improve over time. So if you were to start this project now, you have just enough time to get it melded and bottled, and then you give it away, but you have to say, okay, well, don't crack into it just yet. Give it about 20, 30 days and it'll be better, and then it will continue to improve over time.
Yeah, it helps to plan ahead, I guess.
It does, although, you know, sometimes it's nice to give a gift that keeps giving.
Okay. Let's bring some of our listeners in now. Ken is on the line in Concord. Welcome.
Oh, hi. I just, you know, in these times, even $5 or $10 a person with a large family can be a hard hit if you don't have any money. So I've thought of personal services, which I've done and received, say, 10 hours of babysitting services for a couple with young children, two or three car washes for somebody who hates to wash his car, office organizing, if you happen to be good at that, for someone else.
So it doesn't really take – you don't have to have a particular skill, just maybe a little bit of time and willingness to do something for somebody. And what kind of reaction do you get when you give those presents?
Well, I've had really positive reaction. I make up a little certificate and a card. You know, this card good for 10 hours of personal babysitting services. And believe me, for somebody who has small children, that's like the gift of gold.
Good. Well, good for you. Sounds like you're a great friend to have. Thanks.
Yeah, well, it's something also that people love, and you don't have to spend any money, particularly if you don't have it and you have a lot of people to to give gifts to.
Right. Good. Ken, thanks so much for the call. Kelly Wilkinson, I know that on your website and blog, you took a lot of, or maybe all the photographs. And that's another thing that people can do. I mean, everyone has a camera, even if it's just on their phone these days. You could take photographs and give those as gifts.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, you can frame them. You could embellish frames even really, really simply and really cheaply. I mean, if you get... and I think that's something to keep in mind is working with store-bought, maybe things like frames or napkins or dish towels, things like that, and adding things, different embellishments, ribbons, you know, different designs.
Let's go back to the phones. Trisha is calling from Santa Rosa. Hi.
Hi.
Go ahead.
I am making tile photo coasters this year, and what I did is I picked up some 4x4 tiles from just Home Depot. They were less than 20 cents a piece. And then I printed out little 4x4 photos on my home printer. And I used a little bit of mounting spray to glue them onto the tile. And then I'm using decoupage glue to sort of make a sealant over top of them.
Nice. And that works. They stay dry, don't get damaged.
Right. You need a couple of coats.
Yeah.
And then I bought little felt footies sort of to stick on the bottom so they don't scratch a surface.
There you go. What kind of photos are you using?
Of my kids. It's for my parents, so.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Good, good. Well, thanks for sharing that idea. I want to bring in another guest now, someone else who is not so much familiar to listeners because they hear her voice, but you may hear her name a lot. Susie Racho is the director of the California Report magazine and also the Do List here on KQED. And Susie, I have to say, you got a little container full of brownies, little mini brownies. And I think, you know, you're probably responsible for each of us here at KQED gaining at least 5 pounds.
I'm sorry. I apologize.
We love
to everybody.
It.
It is. I mean, baking is my outlet. And so, yeah, I think most of the staff here is familiar with my
work. Last Friday, for example, in the morning, you brought in, was it sweet potato bread? I think.
A loaf. Yes.
And then in the afternoon, there was a marshmallow chocolate cake that appeared
kind of
for
whoopie pie birthday cake for our, web senior editor here.
And how did you get into doing it? It's not just food. You're into other things as well.
I have a little punk domestics is Sean and I go back a long way to a totally different job about 15 years ago. But I was glad to see that he was doing punk domestics because I'm also into canning. And that comes from a family thing. I grew up in San Jose. My parents had tons of fruit trees and they were all very crafty. My grandmother sewed and my dad had a green thumb. He planted all those trees. And there was always kind of this sense of saving things. They were very thrifty. And so after my mom died in 2004, we were getting ready to sell the house. And we had 5 fully mature fruit trees that were just spilling over with persimmons. 3 of them were persimmon. And my husband and I just thought, we have to get as much fruit off these trees as we can. And what are we going to do with them? And it was the first time I'd gone back into preserving since I was a kid, probably. But we made just hundreds of jars of persimmon jam. Mm. And we got personalized labels that told the story of my parents growing these trees. And we gave them out to friends, family. We sent them all over the place. And so that's kind of where it restarted for me.
And it must have felt really familiar to you, given that it was in your family.
Yeah, it was great. And it was also kind of like, wow, you know, there's this untapped resource that I'd kind of forgotten about for a really long time. And as soon as it was right about to be taken away, it was like, oh, I'm going to miss it. I need to get back in touch with that. And so since then, I've gone out to Swanton Berry Farm in the summer with my nieces, and we pick blackberries and strawberries. I make jam. And made apple butter. There's a lot of people here in the newsroom who have apple trees in their backyards. They bring tons of apples in.
Including our CEO, John Boland.
Some of his apples did end up in my recent batch of apple butter. So.
And Sean, I know that you have recipes on your website for chutney.
Indeed. Chutneys are a great kind of gateway drug into preserving because they're really very easy. It's just a matter of chopping some fruit and other ingredients down, typically chilies, of course, cooking them relatively briefly, and then they preserve very well. They tend to be very high acid, so there's not a great deal of risk in terms of food spoilage.
Well, that's a good point, though. You want to be safe. You don't want to give someone
sure
botulism
you're using
for Christmas.
Reputable, reliable recipes, because yes, I mean, as long as you have the right acid levels, or if it's not a high acid food, it's been pressure canned, you should be safe. But you just need to know that you're using a reliable recipe.
And Susie Racha, what are you working on for gifts this year?
Well, Sean can relate to this too, which is you kind of have to be thinking about this year round, because a lot of these things are seasonal, and so. Earlier in the year, like I mentioned, I went to a Yupik farm down on the coast and got blackberries, so I made blackberry lime jam. I've gotten cherries from another source, which people may or may not know about, which is Happy Girl Kitchen. And they actually have a club called the Preservationist Club. You can get on their email list and get organic fruit, 20 pounds of cherries, which I did in May and made jam with. So there are sources.
Where do you keep all this?
Well, I mean, you got to make it right away. You know, cherries don't last, berries don't last, and so part of it is the seasonality is part of it, but part of it is also knowing, planning ahead that you're going to need to make time to, you know, jam making, preserves. Those are not, you know, it's like a freight train. I mean, you can't stop. Once the water's boiling in the canner, you've just got to keep going, and so you just have to plan ahead.
Yeah, and so you've got jars of this stuff all over the house.
In my garage, waiting to be gifted. In fact, you know, the next step is figuring out how to label these things and how to package them, which is
that's
always the
really
fun part.
Interesting part. There's a wonderful site out of Canada called Well Preserved, and the webmaster of that has been running a contest for people to submit images of how they package their preserves for gifting, calling Pimp That Jam. And it's just people get so creative with it. He had inherited a whole bunch of tiny souvenir spoons from his grandmother, so he's been tying them onto his jars and adding them to the gifts. And Nicole Kramer in the East Bay, she has a company called Farm Curious, has been mining all the thrift stores in the East Bay for little spoons and spreading knives and so forth. So anything you can do to embellish the gift, I think, makes it more personal.
And Gretchen Westrick, you mentioned winemaking. There used to be, I think they've left, but Crush Pad used to be right across the street from KQED, where you could go in and with a bunch of friends or by yourself if you want and make wine. And the labels, you can also create your own labels, which is really fun.
That's right. Actually, Crush Pad will be there tonight. They've moved to Napa, but they'll be offering everything from wine blending to, you know, label making and all the way to the deluxe experience of the make your own wine.
We'll see if we can sneak another call in here before the break. Sherry is on the line from San Francisco. Good morning.
Oh, good morning. I love this show. I wanted to share, my company Simply Celebrate has just launched an ebook, and our favorite gift that doesn't cost a dime is called The Love List. And people just need to sit down and brainstorm everything they love about someone, their funny quirks and memories, and you just go wild with it. And it can be presented on just a single piece of paper or with photographs or as a mobile or as a poster. And it's the most amazing gift to receive.
Hmm. What a great idea. Kelly, a lot of times people think, oh, how much money am I going to spend on someone? And, as Sherry's saying, you don't really have to spend a lot of money. What do you think everyone appreciates getting a gift like this?
I hope so. I think we all can remember, even when we were a kid, probably coming home with something for our parents, even that we made, and that feeling of being so proud of making something. And I mean, not to make it sound like it's a still juvenile thing to do, but it represents your own time and your thought and your creativity, and I think that absolutely resonates with people.
Susie, what about kids? Do you think younger folks appreciate that, or do they just want, you know, an iPod or an iTunes gift card or something like that?
No, it's tough because I do have nieces who are kind of, you know, tweens, and but I am lucky because my youngest niece really wants to learn how to bake. You know, she got her parents to buy her some fondant, so which I thought was huge. I'm like, oh, this
another
is,
gateway
I'm just,
food.
Exactly. I can mold her. But, you know, I think if you can keep it kind of fun and creative and get them involved, you know, as an experience, mm-hmm. you know, teaching somebody how to bake or teaching them, getting them involved in the process really helps a lot, because there is that other side where, yeah, they just want an iTunes gift card.
All right, but, Susie. Oh, sorry.
Go ahead.
Yeah. As you know, we have to hit our post here.
Right.
Our director, Susie Racha from the California Report. And we're going to continue this conversation on unusual gifts. If you want to join us, the number here at Forum, 866-733-6786, 866-733-6786, or you can email us. It's forum@kqed.org. I'm Scott Schaefer, here today for Michael Krasny. Stay with us. And welcome back to Forum. Scott Schaefer here this morning for Michael Krasny. We're talking about creative gift ideas for the holidays. And with us in the studio, Kelly Wilkinson, who is a reporter and occasional anchor here at KQED Radio. She's also the author of the craft blog MakeGrowGather.com. Also here, Gretchen Westrack. She's the founder of CuriosityAtlas.com, which is a website that recommends Bay Area experience gifts and things to do. Sean Timberlake is founder of PunkDomestics.com, a foodie DIY website. And Susie Racho, our producer for the California Report and the Do List with us as well. Kelly, but during the break, you were mentioning that there's a lot of people with fruit trees in the Bay Area, but they don't always use the fruit. And You take care of that for me, or offer
well,
to.
Right, I offer to. It actually came out of a story I reported here on urban foraging, and there's a woman in the East Bay who goes around and collects people's fruit from trees that they're not harvesting themselves, and she was so inspiring, and I on one of the walks I do with my dog in the morning, I go by two beautiful lemon trees, and I just see, you know, them grow and I mean they're just gorgeous and I finally left a note. I didn't know the people who live there and left a note saying, you know, I really am coveting your lemons. If you don't use these, I'd love to take them. And I heard back from both of them and they were so excited to have me come and take the lemons. And
Did they get some preserved lemons?
Yes,
out of it?
I gave them some lemon curd. And it's just a really nice, it makes your world feel a little smaller. It's really nice.
Nice. And Gretchen, what are some of your favorite experiences either that you've had or that people are going to be giving this year or might give?
Well, in our family, we've been doing experience gift giving for the last couple of years. And so we've been trying a lot of these local experiences in the city. Some that I really like, I was given a photography class at RACO. It was an excellent class. A gift I just got was a class to make my own chocolate bar. So I'm going to do this with my sisters at Coco Lux in Sausalito. Very excited about that, thinking about what to name it and what the packaging will be. And then one of the vendors tonight that I'm really excited about is called Rock Band Land, and they do a rock out class for kids age 4 to 7.
Oh, fun.
Where the kids form a band, write a song, practice it, and perform it at the end. So yeah. I think that's just lovely.
And there's a gift, Susie, that your niece or nephew or a younger person would enjoy.
Oh, yeah, that sounds like fun.
Awesome. All right, let's go back to the phones. Again, the number 866-733-6786. Let's go to San Francisco. Tamara's on the line. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi, you're on. Go ahead.
Hi, I was just thinking of a service that I use for my daughter, and it's called BookPig. And I'd love to give the gift of reading to my nieces and nephews. And it's a book rental service, Netflix style. And the kids get books every month in a big red box with a pig on it. My daughter loves it. She really, and it really encouraged her to read more.
It's called Book Pig?
Book Pig.
And yes. What are some of the books? They have just a wide range of things like Netflix does.
Oh, they have tons. They have like thousands of books in their inventory and in their database. I mean, every book pretty much that you name, they can get it. I mean, you have special requests. If you have a book that you want that's not in their database, they've gotten it for us. It's great. Service is awesome.
All right. That's a great idea. Thanks thanks for that idea, Tamara. Let's go to Lisa now in San Francisco. What's on your mind?
Hi. I was just obsessed with where she got her leather. And also, the second thing is the address for tonight on Mariposa, and is it free, and can you drop in any time?
Okay, first the second part first, Gretchen.
Yeah, the event is from 5 to 9 at Verde Club. It's $10, but that includes a cocktail, which we agree here is a bargain in this city. and we're having the bartender at Verde Club create a signature cocktail for the event so we can be on theme with the experience.
What is it? Do you know?
No, we don't know yet.
Surprise.
Surprise, yeah.
Okay. And again, Verde Club is on Mariposa between Hampshire and Petrero.
Yeah, 2424 Mariposa.
Okay, very good. Kelly Wilkinson, leather.
Leather.
What's your source?
I can't remember the name. I can't believe this. I think it's F and S, something like that, and it's on 17th before full 17th and Folsom. I think it is. Is that
yes. Susie's nodding? Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
And what are they usually doing in there with their leather?
Oh, well, they, I mean, they, I think they do a lot of upholstery. I think they have a lot of interior design clients, but I go and it's huge. It's this massive warehouse, and you can walk up the stairs to the second floor where there's all these remnants and just, you know.
It's great, isn't it? The Mission has so many these storefronts, and you don't really know, you walk by them without even looking.
I know. And I think
all
it's
this interesting stuff going on.
What everyone's talking about here and you know, getting into these things, and it's just a great way to experience where you live, and you start to have this kind of inventory, this running catalog of where you live in different places to find neat things.
866-733-6786. Let's go to Cherry is on the line. Good morning.
Hi, this is Cherry from San Francisco. I am a jam maker. I've been making jam for many years, and everyone who has my jam thinks it's absolutely fabulous.
A cherry maker named jam maker named Cherry, of course.
Of course, it works. So two things I'd like to suggest. Yes, you do get tons of fruit in the summer, but what I found works really well is that I prepare the fruit for the jam. I put it in extractor bags. I put a couple of tablespoons of lemon juice mixed in with the fruit, and I freeze it. And it freezes really well. Come December, January, I put out the bags. I make jam. It tastes like summer.
Awesome. Sean Timberlake, is that something you've, what does that sound like to you?
Freezing is an excellent way to preserve fruit completely. Yes. As she points out, it tastes really fresh. You don't get that cooked flavor that you get from jam making. So it does retain its seasonal freshness. My freezer, unfortunately, is minuscule.
And Susie, you mentioned all the what was it? What fruit was it you picked? The blackberries?
Blackberries, and I do have about 2 gallon bags in my freezer, and I'm probably going to make a pie at Christmas time. But freezing is great if you wash berries and then individually put them on a cookie sheet, put them in your freezer. As long as they're not touching each other, you know, you can just, after they're frozen, you can just put them in a gallon bag and they're ready to go.
Got some email here. Michael writes, I'm an illustrator, so I created one-of-a-kind wallpaper for my nephew's iPods. Nice idea. Let's see. This is from Bruce, who writes, I enjoy decorating disposable lighters for gifts, using fun stickers, and then cover them with tape to keep them in place. And Pam writes, one of my favorite gifts is a bath towel with someone's name on it. I use Wonder Under to attach the letter to the towel, and it's not a big sewing skill, just zigzag around the letter. It sounds like something you might be familiar with, Kelly.
Yeah, that's it's like a fusible webbing, Wonder Under, that you can iron on to adhere two pieces of fabric together. And then you, on your sewing machine or by hand, you just go right around the edge of the fabric to keep it in place.
All right, let's go to Napa now. Anne is calling. Welcome.
Hey, good morning. I just have a quick suggestion for you. I like all the DIY ideas and all the other things that are put out, and I'll put in the big plug for Happy Girl Kitchen because they're friends, and they are a great organization. And the other thing I'd like to just say is that I think organizations like Kiva and Actors Without Borders and Heifer International and local food banks have all started to really get hip to the trip that people want to do gift cards. And, Heifer especially is great at packaging, like buy a goat, buy a share of a chicken, or buy a knitting basket, whatever it is, and those are just really great gifts, and they often come with cards, and I find that we give those a lot, and people really like them, and the organization will often send an email out to the recipient, and it's a great gift, and, you know, it really makes people feel like they're contributing, and so I just wanted to put that out as a plug for an unusual gift.
Good.
I'll appreciate
it. Great idea. Thanks, Gretchen. Thanks, and you mentioned, Gretchen, that, people have so much stuff that they don't need more things to put in the shelf, as great as they might be. And that's one suggestion, giving to a charity or an organization that distributes, philanthropic organization.
Yeah. We have about 8 nonprofits joining us tonight, and we're trying to raise money for Pie Ranch as well. And so one of the things that they're offering is a volunteer day and barn dance up at their ranch in the North Bay.
And we should just say what Pie Ranch is. I thought it was in San Mateo, isn't it? Pie Ranch?
It's on the coast.
And it's inner city kids can go
They
work on the farm, they pick the fruit, and then sell it at Mission Pie.
Yeah, some of it is sold at Mission Pie, exactly. And so this is a great way. It's a gift, but it's also a donation to a great organization.
Good idea. Again, 866-733-6786. So let's go to Donald up in Sonoma. Donald, welcome to the program.
Thank Thank you very much. You guys discussed the problems people have in recovering their creativity. It reminds me of Abraham Maslow, the late, great 20th century psychologist, who said that really healthy people have what he called a recovered creativity. And I interviewed a woman once who said, there's a very simple thing to do. Use your hands. She said, you know, everyone has brains. We all use those now. We have feet to walk. But people don't think that their hands need to be used. So dig in the dirt, do the sewing, cook. That's one way to get people to recover that creativity.
All
thanks.
Right. Thanks for the call. Kelly, good advice, huh?
Absolutely.
Just do it.
Yeah, I mean, definitely. And I think, we all do so much work that you know you can't actually hold or pick up or touch, and definitely it's so satisfying to work on something with your hands and just sort of shut your brain off, or part of your brain off, absolutely.
Let's read some more email here. Megan writes, in college, a friend of mine gave 2 coupons for a ride to the airport. It was such a great gift at a time in our lives when we had little money. So that's a great idea. And then Deborah writes, where can you find containers for homemade gifts from the kitchen, for example, for the liqueurs, the chutney, the baked goods? Sean?
Well, Container Store actually has really charming flip-top flasks, which are great for liqueurs. They're cute. They're kind of flask-shaped, and again, with a little flip top, so they're really eminently decoratable as well. They have a bunch of other varieties as well. Also, be sure to hit up thrift stores. Just shop around. Look for vintage or unusual things to put materials in. As long as you're not concerned with preserving, like for canning, you want to make sure that you're using newer or more integral pieces. But if you want something that's cute for liqueurs, yeah, definitely hit up the thrift stores.
Susie?
I'd also say people always ask me where to get things to make their baked goods look more professional, because I think when I brought in that cake, it was in a cake box and was like, oh, where'd that come from? And, you know, you can find those supplies at there's a couple cake decorating stores, one in Berkeley called Spun Sugar, and there's one in Daly City called Sugar and Spice. You can get cake boxes. You can get window boxes to put your cookies in, you know, cello bags. There's a lot of really easy, simple ways to make your homemade, your baked goods look totally professional.
Packaging,
exactly. And it's all in the packaging.
Restaurant supply stores are great, too. Even out on Clement Street, KMI is it?
Oh, KMI is awesome.
Yeah, there's a great place there, yeah.
All right, some more email here. Let's see. Julia writes, I frequently make cookies and candy for Christmas, but I don't want to contribute to everyone's holiday weight gain. This year I'm making homemade bath fizzies from Martha Stewart's website. All it takes is citric acid, baking soda, Epsom salts, food coloring, and some scented oil. Kelly Wilkinson, good idea.
Yeah, great idea. I have not done that, but yeah. And I think we're all talking about a lot of packaging here, and how to finish things that you make. And I mean, there's whole worlds of beautiful places for packaging and paper stores. And I don't scrapbook, but with the rise of scrapbooking, there's so many beautiful papers available, and paper source and tags, and Japanese paper tape is a big thing right now that has decorate patterns on this kind of low tack tape. And I've done a lot of lately is taking a plain gift label and then running a piece or two of Japanese tape at the very end. And there's just really simple ways to finish.
Yeah, there's some great stores in Japantown that have those kinds of materials. And Flax is great also.
Yes.
On Market Street.
Yep.
And also your local hardware store. You know, I was just in a hardware store, and the little samples where you can see the paint colors. You know, if you have a something to just cut out a square, you know, you can use those as your gift tags. Just punch a hole in it. And actually on the Craft Zine blog, I saw that somebody made a wreath out of all of those paint samples.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. All right. Let's go to Woodland up near Sacramento. Andrew is on the line. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for the show. Good show.
Sure.
I got 2 comments. My first one, I want to share that I'm getting my girlfriend dancing lessons, which she has wanted to do with me for so long. Yeah. And I'll be presenting dancing shoes
perfect.
As the physical part of the gift.
Great. Yeah,
that's terrific. Usually, I would think it would be the other way around, the girl giving the guy the dancing lessons.
Oh, man. I've been running away from it for so long.
What kind of dancing?
It's all types. It's at the UC Davis Experimental College, which has a bunch of other classes and everything. And it kind of gives you an introductory to, like, 6 different types of dancing.
Fun. And then what was the other thing you were going to mention?
We both, my girlfriend and I, work at the UC Davis Craft Center, which, if anybody is still scrambling for last-minute experience gifts, those have a million classes from welding to woodworking to flame working, which is glass blowing, and which we do.
All right.
They have a ton of stuff.
Good. Thanks, Andrew, for the call. I wonder, you know, Susie, I know you're a big fan of some of these reality shows like Project Runway.
Yes.
As am I.
You're outing me, Scott.
I wonder if any of you make it work. Those shows are so inspiring for creativity when you see the kinds of things that people make out of nothing.
Absolutely.
Do you think that has, you know, what kind of impact do you think those shows have on you know, encouraging people to kind of, you know, give it a go?
I think they do a lot to do that. You know, there are a lot of places to take sewing classes now in the city. There's a lot of resources to do it yourself. There always has been, but I think the shows kind of elevate that. They just had Top Chef Just Desserts. Local winner was from San Francisco. And I think those shows do a lot to push people to try to be creative.
How about you guys? Do you watch those shows at all for either
religiously
fun or inspiration? Yeah. Obsessed maybe a little bit.
Yeah.
A little bit obsessed. All right. Back to the phones. Kamood is on the line in Sunnyvale. And I hope I pronounced your name right.
Yes, you did.
Good. Welcome.
Thank you. So my idea is of the Toy Box Club, which is a Soiree party center in Sunnyvale. And they let you check off a toy one at a time. For the whole year, you can check new toy for 1 week, and it's $49.
Oh, and what's it called? Toy Box Club?
It's called the Toy Box Club.
All right.
And it's from Soiree Party Center.
And again, that's where?
It's in Sunnyvale.
In Sunnyvale. All right. Thanks for the suggestion. All right. Let's go to Oakland now. Judith is online. Lots of folks want to weigh in with questions or suggestions. Welcome, Judith.
Hi. So one of the things that I think is great is down at Jack London, there's a store called California Canoe and Kayak, and you can go out for like an hour in a canoe or a kayak on the estuary, and it's really magic, and it's very affordable.
Like how much?
I don't know. It's like, I don't know.
But it's affordable.
It's like $15 or $3.
Nice.
And it's really magic out there. There's birds. I've seen harbor seals out there, pelicans, and morning's better than afternoon because of the winds. But it's just a great thing to go and do.
Great. Thanks for the suggestion.
Thanks for the lead.
And Gretchen, those kinds of experiences, they're memorable, right?
They are.
You always have that gift.
I think that's what I really like about them is you're spending time with someone, you're learning something that you want to learn, and that sticks with you.
All right, here's an email from Robin who writes, if you don't make your own crafts but still want to avoid the malls, the KPFA Craft Fair is this weekend in San Francisco. You can see indie and handmade gifts by juried artists and crafters. It's happening Saturday and Sunday at the Concourse, 8th and Brandon from 10 to 6. And she points out that she has handmade eco-chic jewelry that she'll be showing. Kelly Wilkinson, what are you working on right now? What were you working on last night? None of my business.
Actually, some leather cuff bracelets. So I was talking about the leather before, and I took a big wide piece of leather and just cut two slits down it, and so it turned it into three different pieces, but they were still joined at the ends. And then I got snaps, and actually was trying my hand at adding snaps, and I think terrifying the neighbors downstairs. It was so loud. But you know, just picked up some snaps at Mendel's on Haight Street. And that's an example of something to do with leather. It turns into this really graceful cuff.
Nice. Becky in Oakland, welcome to the program.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. Great program. I'm really enjoying listening to all your guests. And as they mentioned earlier, you know, not only do we accumulate a lot of gifts, but I think as a lot of people are doing more arts and crafts projects themselves, we accumulate a lot of supplies. And so one thing I'm doing this year is putting together do-it-yourself craft kits. So I'm not necessarily making things for everybody, but I'm putting together kits for example, for my 9-year-old niece. I'm putting together a glue pen that I picked up at Paper Source with some extra glitter that I don't need and some stationery, so she can kind of put together her own stationery kit. And I think this also goes back to, you know, kind of letting people know that they are actually creative. And so if you kind of give them some raw materials and some inspiration, I think, you know, this might be a fun kind of crafty experience for people to do on their own.
Great idea.
And then I also just wanted to put a plug out there for East Bay Depot for Creative Reuse in Oakland. If you're in the East Bay and you're looking for raw materials and inspiration, they're a great resource. They've been around for a long time, and you can find a lot of really great materials there.
All right, Becky, thanks for the call. By the way, Judy Campbell, our producer, tracked down the name of that leather store that we were talking about. It's S.H. Frank. Is the name of it, and it is on the corner of 17th and Folsom here in San Francisco. Okay, Marika. Marika is on the line, and Marika, you're calling from Redwood City?
Yes, hi. Thank you so much for taking my call. I just took a horticulture class, and we made plant presses, and so I did all these flowers from my garden, and I went to thrift stores, and I found some really cool used frames, and I'm putting together kind of samples from my own home garden for my cousins and stuff, so they can take them with them.
Nice. What are you going to mount them on?
I've just put them on really nice kind of off-white paper, and it just ends up looking really professional with not as much effort as I think plant pressing comes off as.
And what when you say, is there actually a machine that is specifically for plant pressings?
You can, I don't know a source online, but you can buy them. What I did was take two kind of 8x10 square pieces of plywood and drill breathing holes, and you do nice big bolts with wing nuts on the top so you can screw it down, and pretty much do a sandwich with a cardboard and blotter paper and then the plant and then blotter paper and cardboard. And you can do something like 10 and put them all together in a frame, and it comes out looking like a really nice bouquet.
All right. Great. Great idea. Thanks for the call. Kelly Wilkinson, I saw on your website also that you were using acorns, I think, to make jewelry, rings.
Yeah. You can buy ring blanks, they're called, and that are just the plain ring, and then they have a little plain little kind of pad at the top that's flat, and so you can glue anything to that ring. So you can find beautiful vintage buttons and make rings out of that, or old brooches. And I actually got a lot of my grandmother's jewelry after she passed away and made some jewelry out of that. But then I the top of acorns, the little acorn caps, I put some styrofoam in there and then covered that up. And then so it made a flat surface and then glued that to the ring. And yeah, I mean, you can, if you buy those, you can turn anything into a ring.
Endless. Yeah. All right, let's try to sneak a couple more calls in. Jeannie is on the line from Davis. Good morning.
Hi. I wanted to share an idea that has turned out to be our favorite holiday event that pulls together all of these DIY ideas and gift giving and charities. We host a holiday party at our home every year, and we invite people to bring all of their crafts. Sometimes it's jelly or lip balm or ironwork. We have friends that are artists with beeswax candles. Whatever it turns out to be, it's different every year, and we auction them off to each other. We have a blast, and then we donate the money to Heifer International.
Oh, nice.
And we usually raise about close to $1,000 every year, so we end up giving a water buffalo and two goats and three pigs away. And it's a great win-win. You get to give gifts that your friends made to your family and loved ones, and the money goes somewhere great.
Great. Thanks so much for that suggestion. It seems also, Gretchen, we're in a recession, so people obviously are worried about money, but it's not a time for extravagance, is it?
Right. And there are a lot of DIY experiences you can give. I think that's come up quite a bit. Some things that we like doing are just creating tours for your friends. So what about a chocolate tour in San Francisco? We have so many great chocolate makers here. So you can put that together, kind of create that itinerary, and then take your friends on a tour.
Great. Let's see. Let's go to Oakland now. Eve is on the line. Eve, welcome to the program.
Hi. Thanks for having me on. I have two suggestions. One is for just containers, bottles, cellophane, pie plates, World Market, used to be Cost Plus, has everything.
Where is that?
World Market. It used to be called Cost Plus.
And is there a particular place, or are there?
Yeah, they're all over. There's one in Oakland. There's one in San Francisco. Oh. But they have unusually inexpensive, that kind of thing. All size bottles with corks, with everything you want.
Good. Sean? Also,
and then there's creative, but the most important or more important where you can get things that actually go to a good place. Creative Growth in Oakland has a holiday party every single year. And it's in downtown Oakland. It's called Creative Growth. And many, many of the artists have emotional problems, but they're very creative. And I bought last year, for example, a triptych for $10.
Good. Good idea. Thanks. I'm gonna let you go because we're getting short on time. Shawn Timberlake, what thoughts do you have for folks who are, you know, we're getting close. This is the last night of Hanukkah, by the way. So if you're trying to make something for Hanukkah, you got to hurry up. but for Christmas, like if somebody, you know, is getting motivated, they wanted to do something, what would be a good thing to do given the amount of time people have?
Well, we touched on chutneys before, and that's great because they're very easy to make. They're very quick. Fruit butters are another great thing. Apple butter, pear butter, quince are still in. They make a beautiful butter as well. The nice thing about that is you can even do them in the slow cooker. So you can get everything kind of prepped, throw it in the slow cooker, leave it overnight or even beyond, and then you've got something that's ready to give. Pickles, believe it or not, can be a really charming gift because you can use really seasonal ingredients, make them very colorful and creative and fun. So there's quite a wide variety of things you could make.
And Susie Rocha, we talked about food, but you're also into knitting. What are you knitting?
Yes.
I know that you start early in the year.
I kind of start January 1st. So this is not a lot of time to make sweaters for everybody. You know, it's easy if you do get chunky yarn, you know, big needles, you can turn out a scarf pretty quick. I'm doing a lot of hats in Giants colors because people are still celebrating. So lots of black and orange caps for people this year. In terms of baking, I'm doing a lot of prep. So there's, you know, you can make a lot of doughs and put them in your freezer that will last for 3 or 4 weeks. And then you can kind of cut them into rounds, bake them off, right before you need to give them out. So there's a lot of things that you can do ahead of time so you're not totally rushed at the end.
Not frantic. And Gretchen, again, tonight, event, it's called A Curious Affair.
A Curious Affair, that's right. And if you don't have time to make these things before Christmas, you can give the gift of the class to make it. So it's tonight, 5 to 9 at the Verity Club, and we have 25 incredible local vendors who will be joining us. And you can check out our website for the details.
$10 gets you in and you get a cocktail.
That's right.
As well. Kelly Wilkinson, just a few seconds left. Final words of inspiration.
Just look around and see what you use a lot of and try and base a gift on that. I mean, you don't want to give things that are going to be relegated to some deep, dark drawer. So, you know, things that you use in your own home and come up with a spin on those.
All right. Kelly Wilkinson, again, her craft blog is makegrowgather.com. Thanks for being here. Thanks also to Gretchen Westrack from curiosityatlas.com. Again, that event happening this evening at the Verdi Club in San Francisco from 5 to 9. And Shawn Timberlake, founder of punkdomestics.com, and our own Susie Rocha as well, who is busy baking, knitting, and canning this holiday season. Forum is produced by Judy Campbell and Kevin Guillory. Our senior editor is Dan Zoll. Forum's executive producer is Raul Ramirez. And our engineer today is Danny Bringer. I'm Scott Schaefer, here for Michael Krasny. Thanks for listening.
Funds for the production of Forum are provided by the members of KQED Public Radio and the Germanicos Foundation and the Generosity Foundation in honor of Louise and Claude Rosenberg.